Can you hear me, Major?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Okay. Are we going? It's still 11:30.
It's still 11:30.
Okay. So this is the actual beginning. And as we remember from last time, it started with an introduction. And now I'm a little bit confused because he told me we have to do 57 minutes, but he can do a voiceover as well.
Okay.
Who's presenting it?
Are we both presenting it?
I don't know. I miss Josephine, to be honest. But it starts with a field recording from the place where you are. And we've got a radiator. It's a pity that you turn them off. Maybe you should turn them on again.
We could switch the radiators
on.
Yeah,
I switched the radiators on again, and then you say welcome to Framework.
Okay.
Framework is things about composition and its use in field recordings. No, Framework is... Can you remember this? Welcome to Framework.
Welcome to Framework.
No. I just say no, and then I put on the radiators because we need a field recording before of 3 minutes. So you say like...
The radiators are quite loud, aren't they?
Yeah.
So any minute now, it's going
to
be a loud hissing.
Framework.
So any minute now, I'll say, welcome to Framework.
Yeah. Framework is a program consecrated to field recordings and its use in composition.
So welcome to Framework, and Framework is
program
a program of dedicated to field recordings.
And it's used in composition.
Thank you very much.
Then you have to repeat this. I did make it up. Patrick did.
Okay, so this is the beginning of the program, but the beginning will begin in the beginning.
Yeah, and then we let it run 2 minutes more to listen to the radiators.
Yep.
There's some people go out in the field and they record these big propellers, you know, this
airplane propellers?
No, they actually stand in the German landscape. They're wide. And they're like 30 meters high, and then you've got...
Ah, like electric windmills.
That's it. And must be about the same sound, so we can say we are somewhere in the field listening to electric windmills. It's quite cold. We're on the...
So we're not in the room.
No, we're
in a field.
Don't say that.
Don't say we're in a room.
Yeah, this is about field recordings.
Field recordings, and that actually means outside of rooms.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay.
You see, this is the end of the introduction. If we've got... I've put them off now.
Yep. So we're switching radiators off now.
Yeah.
We're not actually in a field.
No.
That was just an improvisation of an electric windmill.
So this program is completely about haunted houses and the sounds that you find in it.
Indeed. Haunted locations, in fact. Yeah, all the samples, or all the field recordings today were recorded solely recorded in haunted locations. But what is a haunted location?
How did you find out it was a haunted location? And what did you give the idea?
This is good. It's a good question. Because I was first interested in Friedrich Jurgensen's experiments, because he used to... These are field recordings, actually, your actual field recordings. He used to go out and record bird song with his reel-to-reel tape recorder. In those days, people used to carry reel-to-reel tape recorders into fields, record sort of such things. And on bringing the tapes back, he found that there were human voices on the tapes, and to his knowledge, there wasn't anyone around in the place. When he went out again, he found that he could actually talk to these voices, and they would respond in a kind of poetic sort of way, so not kind of direct as such. But he found that there were these kind of strange recordings, and he termed the technique electronic voice phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
Or EVP for short. So I'm very interested in this kind of area. The idea that there is information, or voices, or whatever you think, sort of buried in the noise that we hear in the day. So I went round recording various spaces.
Don't
to
say
search.
Anything more. What you exactly record, and maybe we should listen to the first track of this program. Does
Indeed.
It have a title? Or
well, this is track number two, because the actual album itself, me and Matt Gray made for a film. We used it for Nosferatu, Murnau's version, a few years ago. Okay. So
yeah, if it's track two.
Track two, yeah. This
where
is the
does
introduction.
It come from?
There's track two, again, this one recording. I did some recordings in the graveyard in Paris, Père Lachaise, quite a few years ago, and I brought the recordings back and spent a chilling Christmas in a friend's house while they were away and searching through for bits and pieces, and this first track was composed of that. From that, and I think there's some bird song on here as well as a tribute to Mr. Jürgensen.
Okay, let it be a dead bird then.
There goes.
What a haunted house could sound like.
What could a haunted house sound like? Yeah, this wasn't recorded in a house as such. This was recorded in a cemetery. And I brought back the tapes. This was in Paris again, back to my friend's place, and then searched through the information on my laptop. So going through different frequencies and found these sounds.
So there's nothing added?
There's nothing added, no. I mean, I've cut up and sort of processed the sound.
Because if I make recordings into a glass, then I can get the same effect. If I put the microphone under a drinking glass, you get the same. So this was already.
This was
somewhere on the graveyards in Paris. Way.
I mean, if you've actually been to Père Lachaise, you can see that it's such a massive, massive place. But I did, I looked around. There weren't any people. It was, a late Sunday afternoon. There are obviously a few sort of parties of people around, but this was very close. And this is how it turned out. I also found when I was looking through the tapes that I started getting very frightened.
No.
That my body seemed to be putting out this kind of fear thing, and I was kind of watching it curiously, because it seems that the body's acts like a bit like an instrument or a radio, receiver.
So
and it seems when you're getting close to something, the body reacts, So I was like very surprised that I started getting, frightened. By just doing the work of looking through the recordings, processing
them. We are at the beginning of the program, and we are coming to our first explanation how you could record the hauntedness of houses. Mm. So if you've got a very, what is it, sensitive or sensible microphone? Sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I always mix it up. Sensitive.
Sensitive, yeah.
So if you've got a very sensitive microphone, it can actually record your fear waves that are coming from your body.
How to record fear. Screams.
Let's go to the next track.
Okay, so
step. We should need some tape, you know, to make like
sounds of treading feet.
Yeah, but I can do it actually. So.
That sounds like someone treading through ice.
Well, yeah, okay, it was cold. There's this house.
oh, indeed. Yeah. Okay, so track 5 then. So that's a multi-track of lots of noises cut up, put together.
Titles. Why don't you give them titles? And where they are, where they come from.
What would you call it, do you think? What's your feeling? First thing that comes to mind.
Kate Bush.
Why does Kate Bush come in all of a sudden? Where did Kate Bush come from?
maybe she's doing some haunted songs.
She was really into mysticism, I think. As far as I remember, yeah, she was a little witch, I think.
I don't know, maybe some Christmas market attraction, sitting on a table and reading your tarot things.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
No, because she's got this ooh things.
I see what you mean, yeah. So that was the Kate Bush track.
Okay. Next one, and this is, how did you get to these houses?
How do we get to these houses? Some of the houses. I heard that from friends about places that had a very strong atmosphere in them.
Mm-hmm.
Something that they knew that something had happened in there through the history of how they'd got into the place, or there was a very heavy presence in the room. I mean, we all know that if we walk into a room and there's no person in there, it's very different to when you walk in a room when there's a party going on, for example. There's an atmosphere that's created. But if you go into a room and you know there's no one there and it still feels like there are people in there,
mm-hmm.
then there's something not quite right, isn't there? So it's like we can't see something, but we feel there's something there. Some places have very, very strong sort of atmosphere. So,
like in modern days, you might have haunted phone calls that you sent. That you hear that there's somebody else next to the person on the other line, you know?
Yeah,
That there's some presence listening as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes it very
It's very interesting.
Creepy.
Yeah. I mean, when
leave me alone.
yeah. Who was the inventor of the radio?
Marconi. Oh, no. Was it Edison?
Edison.
Tesla.
Tesla is the guy that I'm thinking about, and I know when they were first sort of doing radio transmissions or experiments with it, they thought that they were receiving voices from the ether. It was very much this sort of thing. Same with editing, film editing as well. Film editing people in Shoreham in Brighton in the UK, they were doing experiments, and people were very much into spiritualism and stuff like that at the time. And they figured that when they cut things up, they were making spells.
Yeah, maybe it was radio invention now.gov. Well, it wasn't made for us, you know. It was made to capture the spirits of Roosevelt, or no, of
American president.
Jesus, of course.
It's that you never know. We don't know. We take so much for granted these days, and yet there's so much kind of bleeding through. And there's very few people that have actually invented the actual objects or machines, and that we just seem to be users of this kind of energy or material. Electricity just falls out of the wall, you know. We just take it for granted that it just does. Lights go on. Yeah,
that's true.
What's beyond the framework?
Isn't that the name of this program?
It is. Okay. You're right. And what's your name?
Huh?
Are we allowed to say our names? Are we loud? Are we allowed?
No, Patrick already said it.
Did he?
Yeah, and if I tell it again, then it changes because I've got a different accent.
Oh, okay. Patrick, who's Patrick then?
He's doing the introduction.
Ah, okay, okay.
That's another miracle of science. Hello, Patrick.
Miracle of modern science.
Hello, everyone in London and around the world.
Yeah, we are the voices. We're just the voices in the ether.
Yeah, we are in the haunted factory. Come on.
Okay, so track 9. Was using tiny snippets of these sounds and obviously sequencing them in some kind of way.
If Van Helsing would have had a laptop, he would have used it as a ghost detector or what?
Perhaps. Yeah. In the Nosferatu film, which we use this as the soundtrack for, this is the scene where Nosferatu's in his carriage. And it's kind of sped up again in those kind of days. That must have seemed very strange to see a film which had been sped up.
What is sped up?
Moving faster than it would do normally.
Ah, okay.
Also, they used kind of negative processing as well, so it's kind of inverted.
Mm.
A very strange kind of idea.
Yeah, but Murnau was not bad.
Murnau wasn't bad, no. But also Albin Grau, who did the set design for Nosferatu, was a member of Aleister Crowley's group, the Ordi Templi Orientis. Is this right? Yeah, the Order of the Temple Orientis. Yeah.
Mm.
So he used a lot of occult imagery in the film.
Everybody out there is, or in there, we are out there, you're in there. In there, out there, if they hear haunted houses, they expect, of course, like, sounds of somebody walking around.
Indeed. Yeah.
Windows screeching.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Indeed.
People who are coming after the intruders, bats flying.
Well,
I was in the Cefalù in Sicily looking for Aleister Crowley's house and I never found it. Of course, I started off at the tourist office and they. Told me, yes, it's there and there, but it's closed because everything is closed after 12. So I started driving to the left and driving to the right, and I met somebody on the road, and I said, Do you know where I can find the house of Aleister Crowley? And his answer was, well, didn't he leave long ago? So only in the 30s, so like long ago was 70 years, but he said it in a way as like he left a few years ago.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then I found some house under a football pitch and totally overgrown by things that could be a candidate to hauntedness, but not in daytime with a lot of with a lot of sunshine.
Mm. Well, funny
and
enough,
I don't know if it was that, and I don't have a recording of it.
Yeah,
with me either.
There was a place on the moors that my sister and I found many years ago. It was like a mansion on Dartmoor in England, and it was a bright sunny day. Talking about bright sunny days, the broken down, ruined house. And we went into this place. My sister had been there before, apparently. There used to be parties and things in this place, you know, completely broken down and everything. But I felt terrified in this place. I mean, you can see sunlight and everything, you know, beautiful sunny day. Terrified. My body just didn't want me to be in there.
Uh-huh. Let's play the next track and then we go talk. Then we will talk a little bit about this terrification.
Thank you.
That's your reaction to that track, is it?
No, no.
He's clearing his throat.
No, maybe we should explain a little bit where we are. Can you pronounce the address of the website of this place in English?
Of this place? This place that we're in now?
It's called
www.factory-berlin.de.
Okay. And
indeed.
And this website should be ready when this goes online.
When this recording goes out.
We should explain maybe a little bit where exactly we are. We are in the very east of Berlin, where traces of the ex-DDR are still to be seen, and in houses really being close to coming close to destruction time, because there's no maintenance. You see from the outside that it's just going and going and going. And there's also loads of factories here built at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century. So it's got some archaeological feel about it.
Indeed.
The history of this building itself is that it started at the end of 19th century as a lamp factory. And we are on the fourth floor right now, where Adrian's got its room. And during World War II, actual slaves were working here, mm-hmm. just to speed up, the production for the war factory. But then I met you one day on the third floor, where I, Rinus, am living. And it was evening, you were just leaving the place, and you say, "Oh my God, this place is haunted." And I thought, well, if one place should be haunted, it would be the fourth floor. Because if I was a ghost, I would go back there. If
if you're a ghost, you would go to the fourth floor?
That's what they say, no? They go back where they were, just to...
Would you take the lift, you think?
You can't, can you?
Oh no, because you can't use the lift for the fourth floor in this particular
fourth,
place.
Yeah.
If you're a ghost, where would you go?
But anyway, how how did it come to your mind that to say that my floor was haunted and not your own floor?
It's what I feel
as an expert
feel
now.
Myself. I'm not. I wouldn't say I was an expert. There are different qualities of atmosphere, it seems, and different reactions. It's a bit like using a machine to sort of detect radiation or something like that. My body seems to pick up something, and I feel this kind of fear. My parents used to live in this place. They've just moved, luckily enough, because every time I go back, which is kind of very rare, but I couldn't go into the kitchen at night because my body used to just crawl. I was terrified. It was like something was trying to push me out. And for me not to go into the kitchen at night time to get a snack or something, that's a big thing. Now, that's how terrified being terrified, it meant that my body was kind of putting out this kind of weird sort of feeling that there was something there and I couldn't see it, basically. So it's going into this kind of fight or flight sort of mode. But the place they used to live in, I found out afterwards, apparently, was built on a plague pit. They lived on the seafront in Plymouth, at some old RAF buildings. But the whole of the seafront in this particular part was built on a plague pit. And I figure maybe this is something to do with it. But I didn't know about this information.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt this kind of thing. My sister as well, she's very sensitive to this sort of thing. I think we all are to a certain extent, but we just tend to block it out. We don't need this kind of extraneous noise, don't we? We block out the traffic in the road, we block out everything, you know, lots of sort of things that we hear all the time. So, but this building as well, I heard, was used by the Stasi as well, because it is actually quite high up and looks so very high over Schoneweide, which is where we are now.
Yeah, but then again, I heard that every third person in East Germany was in some way or another
connected to the Stasi.
Yeah. Yeah, because they had to invent
everything. It's a rumor, isn't it? Life is a rumor, it seems.
Yeah, spread by Stasis.
Indeed, yeah. So,
do they know what Stasi is?
The Stasi, the secret police.
Is that
the East?
International as apartheid.
I don't know. I don't know. Again, it's kind of fading from memory, isn't it? From people.
We go to the next haunted house. Can you tell me where these haunted houses were? Haunted horses, haunted houses.
Yeah, one of them, the one I was talking about was on the moors in Devon, in England.
And the next one?
And the next one, well, I did a lot of recordings and then I used samples from each one, so each mm-hmm. one contains like a compressed sort of collection.
That's okay, because it's about its use mm. in composition, and indeed. That's where we are at now.
This is where we are. Okay, next one. Shorty, wasn't it?
Spray, and there's the next bridge
on the river. Yeah, you can see the river from here.
And there's some trees, and you can see some birds there, going on an imaginary roller coaster. Of course, these moments, to somebody who's here, like Stasi-wise or slave-wise, can add some poetry or some. Pleasure moments to their life. I mean, you need something to feel good, even if everything is misery around you. Now, I don't want to become too ecclesiastical.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about haunted houses that make them places of fear and things like that? Why?
I think
you never had the opposite experience, or is it maybe the fright of the unknown? I don't know.
I think generally we react, don't we? Or the body reacts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and fear can be is just something that we can't see, so then the body reacts, you know, and it's in its own natural way. So whether whatever's creating it, whether it's good or bad, I don't think it's good or bad. I think it's just that there's something we can't see and we react. But I do, when I was in Brighton, I used to go to this spiritualist church just out of interest. They're very sort of theatrical sort of places. But they also there was a reason I went there was because they would have a medium every week who would claim to be able to talk to the dead. And one time I went, and there was it was an evening of supposed to be physical evidence, i.e. the medium would have to produce some kind of ectoplasm or something like that, although apparently that's very, very, very rare these days. It's going, it's gone out of fashion.
No.
But this room was dark, packed with people, mostly old people, in fact. I was probably the youngest one there. And then there was the medium there who reckoned he would...
Adrian is 63.
Yeah, going on 64. When I'm 64. Anyway, so this guy is talking. These spirits are talking through him, so he keeps coming up with all these voices and everything. I guess anyone can do that. But halfway through, or... you know, sort of about 15 minutes into it, I suddenly saw all these strings of light coming out of the sky, like strings, like lightning in the sky. In the sky that you see. There was no two ways about it. I mean, that's what I saw, these lots of little very fine strings coming from this direction. I mean, it was totally dark, but from the direction where this guy was. And they went round my head and they sort of spun round. And as they spun round me, I felt really high, ecstatic. And I had this impression that there were children or something like that that were dancing around me and making fun or just playing or something. But I felt so happy for about 10 seconds. And then they just disappeared.
That's funny.
And that was kind of a bizarre sort of...
Were you totally sober? No smoke?
I don't do any of that kind of stuff these days. Not, you know, certainly... I was down to earth, grounded, and that's just what it was. But I think, yeah, certain places or people, whatever, it's a bit like the search for the Holy Grail, isn't it? You know, where does it come from, you know?
From the place where you stem from, you know? You're from Malta, you should know about this.
Indeed, my parents are Maltese. But the Holy Grail I don't think it was connected with the Knights of Malta. It was connected with the Templar Knights, who used to fight with the Knights of Malta. The Maltese Knights were actually, what were they, warrior monks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very interesting. But yeah, what is the Holy Grail? Maybe we should discuss
it. You don't know what it is?
Well, I did see a documentary, funnily enough, last night.
No, the actual thing.
The cup. But yeah, but some people say that the Holy Grail is actually the bloodline of Christ.
Oh yeah, but that's already, discounted. Already revealed.
Is
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really? It's not that, is it?
it comes from David and Solomon and... mm-hmm. It goes to Charles and
Charles and Diana brings us very nicely to Diana.
Don't tell anything. Don't mention the war. No, anyway, now we go to the next song, and then because there's so many things to talk about.
Mm.
yesterday around midnight, which is always a nice hour, a nice time, I met Fabio, who just came back from Milano.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been there?
To Milan?
Yeah.
I stopped there once briefly on the way to Paris.
On the aeroplane?
I had a coffee. It was on a train.
Oh, on the train. Oh, but
does that count?
Yeah,
because I stepped onto the station of Milan.
Yeah, no, station is one of the very, how do you say, emblematic, exemplary things of Milan. That's this big megalomaniac thing. Mm. And then if you go down the stairs, you've got one of the best views of Milan. How do you say it?
Milan?
Milan at all.
Mm.
It's got some Fata Morgana like feel about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you go on the Duomo, then you feel very big because everything is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see over all the roofs and things like that. But he was there and totally, you know, 10 days in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
10 days in Milano.
Mm.
10 days in Milano. And he said, oh, I'm so glad I'm back, because if you're there in the evening, mind you, in a city of 2, 3, 4 million people, there's no place that you can go to. And he said, no, now I'm back. It's the first day. And I go there, and I go there, and I go there, and I go there. Mm. I don't know if this got something to do with hauntedness.
I was wondering whether you were thinking about railway stations when you were listening to this track, or
no,
somehow.
No. You came up with the railway station. I
Indeed.
Wasn't thinking of it at all.
Yes, it was me. So 12 o'clock, you were saying.
Yeah, that's
a nice hour.
I met him, and he was just. I didn't meet his ghost, of course, because he was away for 12 days.
Uh-huh.
I just met him at midnight at the door to the third floor that you think is haunted.
Mm. Yeah, because this place we're in is quite big, and there are a lot of corridors, many rooms, but many corridors. It's kind of a concrete sort of building, isn't it? But it can be a bit like a sanatorium at times, because there's not very many people here. If you're on your own or just wandering around at night, it's very big sense of emptiness about it.
I must say I liked it.
You like that?
I liked it when I was alone here.
Yeah.
Because it's just on the point of being abandoned.
Mm.
Or maybe it's the atmosphere that everybody is creating here, that nobody's living here.
Mm.
Just everything is very futile and temporary.
When you were young, when you were young,
almost 70
we're
years
ago. We're always young.
That was almost 70 years ago.
Multi-dimensional beings. Were you ever afraid of the dark?
No.
Sort of run for the light switch or anything like that?
No, but that was a very strong information that you got, you know.
Mm.
After 10 o'clock in the evening, don't go down in the basement, because we had a basement in our house.
Mm.
And I think my mother was a bit afraid to go there. So I went there all the time. And I thought, well, why am I not afraid? Because these are the moments that I should be afraid of.
Indeed. No, I used to run for the light switch. I mean, I don't know whether that says anything about me, but yeah, I used to be terrified. There are lots of things, I had a very vivid imagination as a kid. I used to hear voices and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very, very strongly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That seems to be a quality of kids anyway, and then they
probably,
for 5 or 6, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Because I was once friend with, and used to go and eat there in the window, so that just to attract people.
Yeah.
They see you eating, and then they come.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some kids, and one of them told him that he had seen people in the basement, chained, and with water coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the same family there was some medium aunt, and she, through real information they found out, because they were very close to the bridge, that there were dungeons long ago there.
Mm.
No, the medium aunt told them to buy the thing next door and simplify the menu, and then he would make money. And in fact, he did.
Mm. Oh, so he moved his restaurant because the place he was supposedly haunted.
Who knows? Maybe, yes.
Affected the food,
yeah.
Affected the people that
come.
I think people are very sensitive, aren't they?
Like your parents' place on the plate pit.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents did make a habit, in fact, of buying places that were, you know, pretty haunted for some
Oh
reason.
no.
I don't know why. Well, yeah, well, as a family, I think we're drawn towards all these sort of crazy places, but and friends as well. A lot of my friends seem to be into this. I have a friend who's Ralph Harvey. Ralph Harvey, Sir Ralph Harvey, in fact, because he's the only pagan to be knighted, the only pagan to be knighted in England.
Wait a
Yeah.
minute. Pagan is people who have gods who live in trees and not gods who live in heaven, but live also in heaven. What's this?
Well, paganism came before Christianity.
Yeah, that's
It
what
was
I
kind
mean, the
of
Druids and
taken
things like
over
that.
by the Christians. Christians took a lot of the churches and stuff like that, completely destroyed them as they tended to do at that time.
They do it in every religion, Adrian.
Indeed, indeed. Don't go there.
Yeah.
If you're there,
They're even
don't go
doing it now, you know.
there.
They're even doing it now. It's the
Yeah.
Palace of the Republic. They're just destroying
Hmm.
it. And 500 meters more to the north, they're building a place that somehow looks like the Palace of the Republic, but it's more ugly. Anyway.
But Ralph Harvey is a pagan exorcist of all people, and he gets called into some very big sort of haunted places where actual objects are moving around, falling down places, all sorts of crazy stuff, you know. He has many, many stories. I have done recordings of him actually talking about his experiences. But yeah, you think that I tend to think that this stuff only happens in films like The Exorcist and stuff like that. But he assures me, you know, through his sort of experience. He is a pagan witch as well, has a coven and all this sort of stuff, as a few English people seem to seem to have. But he's a lovely guy, a bit like Capturing Mannering. If you remember Dad's Army, he's exactly like this kind of character.
He was the one with the glasses,
That's
no?
right, yeah, the
Oh,
captain of all.
yeah.
That's what he looks like, and that's what he sounds like. He's in
Really?
his 80s now, yeah. But yeah, he's heavily involved in this sort of thing, gets called to these places, and it's his job to sort of find out whether it's real or not, for a start, because he's very sort of clear about this aspect. And if it is, he has to bring in the holy water and all sorts of manner of bits and pieces, which he says are useful in these places. But yeah, he assures me that some of these incidents are probably about as crazy as what you saw in The Exorcist. You know, the whole street, you know, sort of out.
Once in Italy, you have a newspaper that's called Il Messaggero, and they're very close to the Vatican. And just walking past this newsstand, I read the headlines, and it said that the Pope before this Pope just died, that he had done two exorcisms in his life. And I thought, so the devil exists.
The devil.
If they tell it, and if because and the Pope lets this message go into the newspaper, then this is an indirect statement. Yeah, the devil exists. That's very strange, don't you? That's a very strange
But
thing to do,
there
tell as
is
a Pope.
indeed, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The
I like this Pope more. He's more a professor.
it's kind of interesting, isn't it? If the church sort of gives out this sort of thing,
Yeah.
but they do purport to sort of be in league with all this sort of stuff anyway, don't they?
Oh, we have to do the last track, and then we do the last track.
Okay.
We could go on hours, and if
We
you're
could
interested
indeed.
to receive more hours, just send your fan mail to fanmail@framework.co.uk.
And my website's
and all the posts will return to
Yeah, some of these tracks are on the Test Guard website, which is www.testguard.org, and also there's a Ralph Harvey interview on there, the Exorcist guy that I did quite a few
So
years
you
ago.
can make your own program.
Yes, you can find out yourself whether it's true or not,
Yeah.
whether we're just in search of some kind of.
Yes. And in some few minutes after this track, we're gonna haunt your ears. Oh no, it's five. You've already did this.
Oh, I did this one. Okay, we'll go back. We'll go forward.
3 minutes, and the last one in December it was transmitted. I don't know when they're going to transmit now. I hope it will be springtime by then. Springtime. We finished off with the national anthem,
mm-hmm.
and now we're going to finish off with something that was almost the anti-national anthem. It was like not a pagan anthem, but the populist anthem. 1, 2, 3, 4. Goodbye.
Oh, we're supposed to be singing this.
Rose. May you ever
grow in our hearts. You were the grace that placed itself where lives were torn apart.
And then
you called out to our country,
and you whispered to those in pain, now you belong to heaven, and the stars spell out your name. And then there comes a passage that I like, and it seems to me
you lived your life
like a candle in the wind, and you never drive in an open sports car
what
to Paris with the wild wind in your hair, never fading with the sunset when the rain set in. How did you?
And your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before your legend ever will. But what?
That's the best part of the song.
Why are we singing this though? Or why are we actually saying this?
Because instead of the national anthem.
Instead of the national anthem at the end, yes.
Yeah,
of course.
We saw the Queen.
Yes. Yeah,
you can also do the poo, but we still have 1 minute.
Okay.
Loveliness, we've lost. And this is a haunted song, you know, it can haunt everybody's head.
Indeed, yes.
I'm singing it for 3 days now.
Yeah.
Terrible. And now I know the words.
You've got to kick that habit.
Yeah. These empty days without your smile,
this torch will always carry for our nation's golden child. And even though we try, the truth brings us to tears. All our words cannot express the joy you brought us through the years.
And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind. Freedom's just another word for
when the rain set in.
And your footsteps will always... That's really
England's
brilliant.
Greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before your legend ever will.
That's a long song, man.
It's too long.
Yeah.
Too long.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Sleep well and think of your Lady Di every now and then. It's 10 years from now.
You can clear your throat now. That's the body expressing itself.
Yeah.
Good night. Oh, that's exciting.